When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Back on the Fan, BT and Sal here on this Monday, 888-808-1019. Yeah, starting to see some more meaningful videos on social media. You know, football stuff, it's coming. It's coming. It is right around the corner, which is awesome. Which, you know, listen, if everything works out, and this is where we incorporate the Mets here, this could be an amazing fall. This could be an amazing fall. Yanks going to win neighborhood of 100 games. They'll be right there. I strongly believe that. The Jets have as much talent as anybody. You know, we'll see what happens, but going in, loaded. I think the Giants' offensive line is going to be greatly improved. Greatly improved. I think there's a couple of wins early they could bag, and they need to. And if they get them, I think that they can have a pretty competitive season. I like their defense. Obviously, the pass rush is going to be really good, you know. So, Neighbors is a stud. I told you that the day they drafted him. And it kind of gets us to the Mets here. And it really, even take a step back, push it forward. As we're in the fall, you know, Rangers going to training camp, trying to crack through, get to the Cup. Knicks going to training camp, trying to get back, get to the conference finals, you know, take another step. So things are pretty good. Things are pretty fun. Things are pretty
maps today
around here. I'm not sure what that was. Everything's good, but Dove today. I'm just kidding, Dove. I don't know what that was. So, the Mets. The Mets, to me, the one situation that is going to become very, very dark. I don't mean this colossal implosion. I'm not here to say that. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't believe it will happen. I don't believe that that will happen. But I also do not think that the Mets will be a playoff team. And I've said that. Every time it comes up with Sal, I say they're going to be right there, and they're going to fall short. And I think that this weekend was another example as to why. You know, the Angels stink. See, you can't start the road trip then. Like, you just can't start. You can't drop 2 out of 3. You didn't hit yesterday. You scored 2 runs. You know, you did nothing outside of Martinez, you know, with the grand slam. Nobody else is doing much right now. And I look at this team, and they're scrappy, and they've got some components that certainly give them a fighting chance. And I could be totally wrong. They could win 7 in a row and, you know, whatever, which would be great. But suddenly you look around the wild card, and it's the opposite of what applies, at least for me, to the Yankees. Think about what I said about the Yankees earlier, and we'll get back to the calls about them in a minute. Part of the reason I'm so bullish on the Yankees now is they're, you know, what they're rolling out there. They're faster. They're better. And I like what the Yankees have. And I'm also, you know, further encouraged by what some of the other teams that will be in their way don't have. So that should set up or could set up favorably for the Yankees. It's the opposite for the Mets. Like, what the Mets don't have is a problem. And what some of the other teams do have is a bigger problem. I know Philly's not playing well. I know Atlanta's not playing well. But I'm not talking about Philly and Atlanta. Talking about the Padres, talking about some other teams now that are suddenly pushing the Mets a little. Yeah, Mets are right now, they're out of a wild card. Playoff starts tonight. Mets are home. You know, game and a half out. And, I mean, Pete, if you want to talk about stars carrying the mail, I mean, is Nimmo going to wake up at any point? He's hitting .180. You know, Brandon Nimmo hit .188 in July. This is after everybody's telling me that Brandon Nimmo should have been an all-star. Yeah, okay. Should have been an all-star. 188 in July. And then Pete. July, pretty much reflective of the season that he's had. .231 average, a measly 11 ribbies. And by the way, he's not showing any real signs. And a little more thump early in August, but he's hitting .200 in August. I mean, And J.D. Martinez, who's had some big signature moments and was really good and really instrumental for the Mets early. And even if he doesn't hit much the rest of the way, which I think he will to an extent, I think his presence around this team is going to benefit some of the young guys. So the Martinez pickup is already justified for what they paid him. But, you know, J.D. Martinez hitting 234, hit 235 in July. So let me get this straight. So Alonso hit 231, Nimmo hit 188, and J.D. Martinez hit 233. Think about where the Mets could be if their stars actually did anything in July. Now, that could give you fuel to throw back at me and say, well, if they do it in August, then here you go. They will be fine. Yeah, but I just think that, see, the problem with the Mets, it's not even really a problem because I think misleading is the better word. It's a problem if you're supposed to be awesome and things aren't going well. It's not as much of a problem when you're supposed to be, you know, okay, and you're having a season where you're competitive and you've given your fans something to cheer about and root on, you know, root for, and which is what the Mets have done. So it's not a problem. It's just kind of, it's what you expected that they would be. And I think the Mets made the right decision. I defended Stearns by not going for it all. I didn't think that there was anything to really do. Blake Snell for a year with that option next year, eh. Of course, he throws a no-hitter, but, you know, eh. Was there a massive stick out there that would have changed the pen? You know, I don't think so. I think the Mets fall short. And that's just, I think the Mets fall short. And I think that this weekend was a bit of a microcosm of what is going to be coming. I hope I'm wrong, but I've said it, you know, for a while. I feel it. And we'll see. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's get back to you guys here. How about Mike in, I believe that's in Maine. Mike is on the Fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, PT. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. How you doing, dude? Thank you.
Good. I agree with your opening monologue that the Yankees are built to win a World Series. You bring in this big personality, this Chaz Chisholm, and it just cuts the whole, it changes the whole demeanor of the clubhouse. Everybody's smiling, playing loose. It's a game changer, and it kind of reminds me of when they brought in Nick Swisher.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Nick had that impact on a team that had gotten very stale. I hear you. You know, I think certainly Nick was more reliable with power. I think Jazz is more explosive and dynamic on the bags, as we saw yesterday with that double steal. You know, it was a power move by Cashman. Now, did you want one more? Sure. You know, but the Flaherty stuff with the medicals. So, if I say to you, game one, you know, playoffs, the Yankees are rolling out. Let me just see. So, all right. You're rolling out Soto and Judge. You're rolling out Jazz. You're rolling out Dominguez, who hasn't played much this year, but everywhere he goes in the minors, he's been absolutely fantastic. You roll out Volpe. You know, I mean, that is 5 nights if you're starting five right there. It's pretty unbelievable. And you're going to roll out Austin Wells, who, as you know, I'm a big fan of. I mean, that is pretty good. Pretty good. And there's length. The lineup's more circular. There's just really not a real end. You know, you got to remember, too, and I forget who it was. Somebody called up and said, oh, my God, how you flip-flopping on the Yankees this way? Well, because you have to understand, guys, part of my ire was that they were rolling out J.D. Davis. Think about that. Think about some of the players that they rolled out in that Subway Series. I'm already forgetting. Jamonte Jones? James? What was that guy's name? James? No. It was Jones, right? I'm getting all twisted. You batted first. And I'm sitting there saying, how do you have a $300-plus million payroll? And again, this is before they acquired Jazz Chisholm, obviously. And again, here we are at the latter stages of the summer trying to come up with a plan to fix the Yankees. Yeah, I don't apologize for those takes. Who the hell thought that would be the case? Now batting for the Yankees, cleanup hitter, J.D. Davis. What? J.D. Davis? So that was that. You know, and now this is this, and this is very different. Rob is up in Westchester with BT and Sal. Sal's off, by the way. What's up, Robbie?
BT, my fellow Red Fox. What's going on, brother?
Yes.
How are you?
Marist in the house. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, listen, man, I'm calling you right now because I got to call you out here. Listen, from one Red Fox to another here, me and you dug up Sal from this negativity cave he was in. Do you remember this 2 months ago?
Go ahead.
I said, Sal, right? We're not as bad as we were at that point in time, so we can only get better. So right now, I'm going to tell you this, BT.
Yep.
Why can't the – you're counting the Mets out, I feel like, but – you know, Martinez is cold. Lonzo's cold. Winker, I mean, we'll see. He's supposed to be pretty good. He's cold.
I like him.
Alvarez has been ice cold. Yeah. So if these guys just get back to, you know, what they're supposed to do on the back of their card, you know, it's going to be back to, oh, my God, Mets. I mean, it's one or two bad series here. You know, I don't think they're down and out here. I think you're making it like they're not going to make the playoffs.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I've said that. Now, again, I mean, I'm being right. I've been consistent with that. I think the Mets will narrowly miss out.
So you think the Padres and Diamondbacks, they're piping hot, right? They're piping hot. They're going to stay this good. They're 9-1, 9-2, these guys. They're not going to stay this.
I think the Padres are better. I think the Diamondbacks are better. I do. I think they're both better. And by the way, the Cardinals are right behind you as well.
I think it's going to be oh my god again soon. You got to let these guys heat back up. They were really hot.
Yeah.
Now they cooled off. If these bullpen guys we got are just pretty good, I'm telling you, this should be at least a third wild card team then. So.
Yeah. Listen, that's not so implausible. Thanks for the call there, Rob. That's not so implausible where it's crazy. No, of course. Of course they've. I mean, the third wild card, it's not like you called up and saying they're going to. Win the division and just jump past the Braves and eventually the Phillies and win going away. No, nobody's. So, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I understand why you would think that. You got reason to think that. Let me get Hoff in here for a sec. So, Hoff, where are you with your Metsies, buddy? Where are you? Haven't talked about this in a while.
Where am I with the Mets?
Yeah, where are you?
I mean, it was a disappointing weekend. Yeah, that sucked.
Okay. Like, it
Brazoban kind of put the fuel in the fire, he looked good in the seventh inning, and they kind of like imploded, and that kind of hurt because Mets just haven't been hitting. But we've been able to the Mets have been able to find certain moments to score big runs in big innings. It's just not enough. They should have beat the Angels. It is what it is. I mean, to go off on all that stuff, whatever. I'm not soured on them by any means. Like, is what it is.
That's fair. Listen, I kind of expected you'd say that. It's fair.
And listen, again, I don't want to say like, oh, they have a soft schedule in front of them right now as they go, against the Cardinals today.
Yep.
And they got three against the Rockies.
And then three at Seattle.
Yeah, which is not soft
no.
by any means.
No.
But maybe the Phillies, gave them enough wins that now they'll Seattle will start to slump a little bit.
We gotta
hope for the best.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: I watched Seattle too. Like they're not that dominant. Their starting pitching I know is normally great, but they struggled too this weekend. So they're not impossible to beat either.
I know they're not, and that's kind of the state of baseball here in 2024. It's weird. It's fun and it's good. I think that. Well, first of all, me and Sal both said this on Friday, that he and I both thought that that this 10-game trip would define their season. Not off to a good start. And that doesn't mean it can't get corrected, but see, I think the Mets need, and this worries me when you have this kind of a team. And I remember this was a little similar, even though I think that this Mets team is more talented. But like the 2020 Knicks, COVID, like everything had to go right. You know what I mean? I feel like too many things have to go right for the Mets. And I don't feel as if they're, I don't want to frame it, that they're, the positive attributes of the team are so amazing that they can carry the other areas that are of great concern to me. Like your star players, I'm not getting into the whole Lindor. I'm not looking to just trust me. I'm not because Lindor's been the least of their issues. I get that. It's been more Pete, been more Nimmo. JD's been a little cold in July. Got it. I'm not looking at this Lindor, but I feel like the weaknesses. Like okay, so even if Pete goes on a heater, which I still think he will at some point, and Nimmo corrects it, and he's going to, then the starting rotation might lag a little bit, and then the bullpen might like. There's just. I don't. You know the whack-a-mole game on the boardwalk. Whack this, whack that, whack this, whack that. I feel like there's always something popping up with the Mets.
It does. It does feel like that at times. And again, the bullpen on Saturday really destroyed. That hope of Brazoban going in there and just sucking. But I don't think it's as far off as you make it sound. Like I do think that for the most part, listen, runners in scoring position, they've been awful, and I'm not going to deny that since the All-Star break. But the offense has been better overall that they have. If it's not the front of the lineup getting hits, it is the back end. Like Harrison Bader has been clutch all season. Not, I don't want to say clutch, but he's been productive all season long. Mm-hmm. I know Francisco Alvarez may not be as good as he was last year, but he's been solid. I know the power numbers have not been as well. The point is I believe that this team is well-rounded offensively enough, maybe in runners in scoring position, maybe in clutch spots they're not delivering. They still do find ways to win games. They're not as far off as you think.
All right, so Hoff still got faith. 888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the Fan. Let me get Sean down at Orlando, Florida. He's got us up on the Free Odyssey app. What's up, Sean?
Hey, BT, how's it going, brother?
Okay, man, what's happening?
Hey, man, I really feel with the Yankees is when they're going to pull the trigger and bring up Dominguez, because I feel like he would really put that offense over the top, because he brings another element of speed. That now we have Volpe and Jazz. You had Dominguez. Now we got athleticism all over the place.
Yeah.
It's just they got to be willing to. Verdugo's going to sacrifice the at-bats. But you know what? Verdugo's not here next year. They got to pull the trigger on Dominguez soon because they need him. He could either start you at leadoff or he could be the protection to Judge when they keep walking Judge. Dominguez got that potential where he could just take his offense to a whole new level.
Sean, I think he's here in 2 weeks, Sean. I do. I think he's here within 2 weeks. And that's a good point. Not that you want to. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility to say, all right, kid, come on back. You've played 8 games for us, and you've had multiple injuries, including one reconstructive elbow surgery. Now you got to get Judge's back. You know, that you got to protect Aaron Judge. That is quite daunting, even for somebody as talented as Dominguez. But, I mean, I'm not looking to thrust him into that role right away. Yeah, I'm not saying you hide him because you're not going to bat him 9th. You know, 6-ish, whatever. And, you know, and that's the thing about this Yankees lineup, too. Like, it's going to get better as the year goes on. Like, it's evolving. It's developing. And that, to me, is something they have not had in a long time.
Manning takes the knee, and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. Get back to these calls. Little Yanks and Mets, 888-808-1019 is the number. Let me tell you about Fanatics Fest, which is taking over the Javits Center. This is going to be cool. August 16th through the 18th. Right now, we'll do caller 10, and we'll get you there. 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. Your chance to win 4 tickets. Be part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit fanaticsfest.com for the full athletic lineup. And be a lot of big dogs walking around. Tom Brady, Peyton. I mean, just monster A-listers. It's going to be insane. Me and Sal will be doing the show out there, as will Evan and Tiki. So that is August 16th at the Javits Center. Hope to see a lot of you there. And the other thing we have coming up is Sal and I will be doing our show at Giants Camp on August 20th. Hoff will be out there. So a couple of remotes here. We were at Joe Torre's outing a few weeks back. What? Dove, your timing is awful. I'm in the middle of a sentence. Oh, my. You did that to Sal when I was out last week. He got mad at you. Oh, God. Anyway, the Hop's looking at me. Come on, Dove. Come on, man. What did I want to say? Now you ruined my train of thought, too. Jeez, I had to say something else. Oh, I know what I had to say. So at the Fanatics Fest, they'll have a lot of baseball cards and stuff. And I'm watching, not the whole thing, jeez, but because it's like 2 hours, the Yankee rain delay. And my buddy Keith McPherson noticed this as well. He texted me, in case I hadn't seen it. So I appreciate that, Keith. Good looking out. You see what they're doing on the YES Network? They're stealing from us. You see this? They're biting. They're ripping packs of baseball cards on the YES Network during a rain delay. That's what we do. You're not allowed to do that. Bob Lorenz and I forget who else was up there. I don't know. This is, everything blends in after all these games you watch. But
First of all, I think it's actually a really cool thing. I mean, how many times can you regurgitate the same highlight? You know, look at look what happened on the pop-up. You know, Grisham and Judge almost collided. All right, we've seen it 1,000 times, you know. But so it's cool. I think that every broadcast team in baseball should rip packs open during a lengthy rain delay. I think it's awesome. The problem is, you didn't hear any attribution. Like, you know, it would have been nice if Bob Lorenz would have said, "Yo, listen, that BT and Sal love doing this, and, you know, we heard it driving to the stadium once. We're going to start doing it as well." You know? That was cool. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the family. Get Kenny Northbergen. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
All right, Kenny.
Listen to me one time. Torres, got to go. What's he's another Cano.
He's going
forget about it. He's Mr. Wonderful. Forget about it.
He's going nowhere.
Bring the minutes up. Bring him up. Bring that kid up. He's going to do a lot for this team.
No, Kenny, but Torres is going nowhere until the end of the year. He's here for the rest of the season. They didn't trade him.
Sit him down. Sit him down. Get rid of him. He's not. He's lolling around like he's a permanent down. Forget about him. I like your guy, the catcher. Wells is going to be another big time catcher.
Yeah, he is. He's going to hit, man.
Now, let's get rid of two pitchers.
Who?
Crazy. Not, you know what I'm talking about.
Norte. I almost called them Nortez. Cortez and Stroh?
You got it, buddy.
Well, they're not getting rid of them either, Kenny. Kenny is in the business of just getting rid of everybody. There's this thing called contracts, you know? Stroman's got a contract for next year, too. So, they're not going anywhere. Doesn't mean they won't be relegated to different roles when the games become more meaningful, however. And, yeah, I mean, Stroman is just, he's been bad. Not been good. You know, the Torres thing, where he's not going anywhere. He's not coming back next year. I'll tell you what, though. Like, because he's had such a bad season, if the Yankees rationalize this, and they're like, well, you know what? The market's suppressed for Torres because he didn't play well. We can get him for six. I don't want him on the team. Like, you know, 60 cents on the dollar. Don't care. Got to go. Got to move on from him. I don't want him around. I don't know any. Like, it's funny because the Torres thing, and I have been on this Gleyber Torres train for years because as hard as baseball is, and it is hard, effort should be easy. Engagement should be easy. Yeah, I just don't have, I don't respect people who just mail it in. You know, I just don't. You know, I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, even here at The Fan, you know, for years, sometimes you hear some host get on the air and just throw out the phone number. Okay, fantastic. What am I calling you for? You haven't given me anything compelling to react to. Oh, wow. I'm going to call you because you're on The Fan. Great. And you got to give me something to call about. Lazy radio. Lazy baseball. I can't stand laziness. I can't. And even more so when you could be great. You know, some people just don't have that great gene or that potentially great gene. Gleyber Torres had it. And that is just beyond infuriating. Cologne is in New Jersey. What's up, man?
Hi, BT. How you doing?
I'm okay. How you doing today?
So I'm the Yankees. I'm good. I'm the Yankees. I agree with you. The Yankees have been a good enough chance and advice to make the World Series. But we started off this season, you know, with the expectation we have to make the World Series or Boone is out. I do not want to change the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Not make the World Series, then the change should be Boone has to be brought, has to be out.
You're chopping up there, Cologne. It's obviously about Boone's job security. I would have no problem with that. I really wouldn't. I think Cashman's been the bigger issue than Boone myself. But there comes a point where, I mean, how many times are we going to roll this thing out and hope that it changes? Now, I don't think the Boone's a problem. I think the question is, and he's not unique in this sense, at what point does the voice become a little stale? I don't think it has with him. I don't. Although, again, he's definitely culpable with the Torres stuff, as I talked about last segment. You know, you can definitely make the case, and this is down the road. I want to enjoy this resurgence. I want to watch this team pursue something they haven't really had the horses to pursue in a while. I'm not saying you didn't have like a flicker of hope, like, well, it's the Yankees. Maybe they'll figure it out. But it really wasn't rooted in any real reality. I remember talking to Sal, and I remember myself being there, that Astros playoff series. I mean, the Marlins may as well have been in town. It was just dormant, and it was like I went to a Yankee playoff game. It was the first one I took my son to. Just to go to a Yankee playoff game, like even walking into the stadium. Now I'm trying to hype it up with my son. Like he's just falling, at that point he was seven, just falling in love with baseball. Hey, daddy was there in 96 when they won it and they hadn't won it for so long. And, you know, all the things you talk about with your kids if you're, you know, a big sports dad and your kids are into it. But in my mind, I'm driving there. I'm like, they got no shot for this series. They just don't have it. And I don't feel that way this year. I think they got a real chance. Let me get Frank in Rockland County. What's cooking, Frank?
How are you?
What's up, man?
Yes. So I've been with you. I've been trying to get Glaber out of here for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
No baseball instinct. Mails it in. It looks like half the time. Nonchalant. Thinks he's Robbie Cano, but not as good.
What do you know?
And I don't understand why they just didn't move him for, you know, a couple of low level prospects. When they had, if they had the opportunity, I just don't get it.
Well, you do. No, you do. You know the answer because you're a smart baseball fan and you've watched them and you know they're thinking. The reason they didn't do it is because in their back of their minds, they still believe that he's capable, which, by the way, he is. That's the maddening part of this. You know, going on a month-long binge and hitting 330, which, by the way, he's basically kind of been doing since for the last 20-something games. He's playing well. And it's that belief that he's going to tap into it that can change the complexion of their lineup, which is exactly why they didn't trade him. That's it. There's also not a lot of, you know, really good second basemen, you know, with Pop, even though he's not going to have a lot of home runs this year. But, you know, it's a premium position. If you have somebody you believe in, then you're going to ride him out. It's just, you know, I mean, much to my chagrin and yours over the years, I fundamentally can understand why they'd be, not only now, but I mean leading up in the last couple of years while I was jumping off, they were still holding on to that rope because he was young and he was theoretically, and he's still youngish, but he's not young, theoretically ascending, a little pop, second base, you know, and it just hasn't come to fruition. I think it's a joint failure. He failed himself by not being a locked-in ball player, and the Yankees failed him by allowing him to get away with it. Simple. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon's here to Sal the Cotta Show.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. You know, I don't think I'm alone with this. Now, if you went to a big school, just a quick diversion from the baseball stuff. We'll get back to it. Promise. So I didn't go to a big college. I went to a smaller school, Marist. Some of you know that. Grew up here, so there was no college football. Yeah, Syracuse, obviously up there, whatever. But, you know, Fordham, respect what they've done. Great history, especially back in the day. You know, Stony Brook. I know that some of these teams have programs, but college football growing up for me was, you know, watching Ohio State, even Army for a minute. I remember them being on TV a lot. Respect to them up there in the Hudson Valley. Love the Cadets, the Black Knights of the Hudson Valley. But it was always, you know, who's playing? Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Ohio State, USC, right? Michigan. So, and then, you know, for me, I latched onto it. I'm like, all right, I wasn't into it when I was young, and I got really into it. And some of the markets I worked, earlier when I was just cracking the business, working in Michigan, you know, being around Michigan State, being around the Big Ten, I really enjoyed it, and I got into it. And it's funny, I just went to CBSSports.com. That's the vehicle that we use the engine for my buddy's fantasy baseball league. So I went to check on something for a waiver move I might make, whatever. Boy, I just sounded like Evan, didn't I? And, you know, they have on the homepage, CBSSports.com, bunch of college football stuff. I couldn't be less interested. I mean, does anybody care about college football the way they used to? And again, I preface all that with, if you went to one of these schools, that's obviously different. I mean, who the hell knows any players because of the transfer portal? I don't begrudge them for getting paid. They should be. I've always had their backs with that because they were getting, you know, exploited and these, you know, school presidents and, you know, money hand over fist, and everybody was, they were abusing the system. The kids were getting exploited, and I've never been a fan of that. But it is a turnoff to an extent when every transfer is about this guy, you know, this school's giving me a million more. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke, man. You know, who's going where? Who's leaving after two games? Who's not playing in the bowl games? College football to me, and college basketball too, to be fair, but because I still love the Big East and I still do St. John's, but that's changed tremendously. It's unrecognizable. How do you get juiced up about outside of betting and outside of, you know, some of the most amazing venues, like, you know, and just having football to watch, which is better than not. But how do you, and this is a serious question, how do you maintain the same energy that you once had for the sport? I'm incapable of it. I at least I admit it to you. I don't care. Don't care. Now, Hoff left the room. I was going to administer a little trivia question, which, by the way, I would probably fail as well if somebody asked me on the spot. Like, you look at the Big Ten conference, you know, the regular teams. Like, you almost forget UCLA's in the Big Ten. Oh, my God. USC is in the Big Ten. Oregon. What a joke. The Washington Huskies. I don't know. I just don't get it. I can't relate to it anymore. Now, what I do, hey, Hop, pop open your mic for that. I got to ask some. What I still do, and I'll always do this because it's important for you and for me to do my job, like, I'm following mocks. I'm following the top players. That I definitely do. Like, Hop, I was just on CBSSports.com. I saw some college football articles, right? Now, growing up here, there's no team to root for, so it's different. We're more college basketball, right? At least when many of you were younger. How do you get the juice that you once had for college football with everything that's happened between the portal, NIL, conference realignment? Like, college football's dead.
Yeah, I never had juice to begin with, so, and now it's killing it even more. Right? Honestly, there's nothing to it, dude.
Nothing.
Listen, I enjoy the fact that kids may stay longer now because they don't have to rush out. The same thing with, like, basketball. Like, hey, you actually don't have to rush out of college, so maybe you could build more of a name and stuff like that.
Well, what you could do, think about this. If you're, like, a fringe draft pick, say I'll take basketball, right, because I'm more familiar with that. You're a fringe draft pick, and, you know, maybe late first round, maybe you're not sure, and, you know, maybe the best you could do is a two-way contract with the G League, right? Hey, stay on campus, get $500,000, you know, score 20 points a game. And, you know, so you're actually making more money. So you do stay a little longer. That's not bad, but everything else stinks.
Yeah. No, I'm not interested.
Quick trivia question for you, or a little quiz. What conference is USC in?
Big Ten.
He got it right. Wow. You heard me saying that outside.
Yes.
Oh, you suck.
I'm the one that had no idea.
You had no idea, right?
No.
I know. Me neither. It is. And I'm not trying to be a downer here, but, I mean, I used to love this sport. I used to stay. And listen, I was also betting more, to be honest with you. But, I mean, you start, like, the Big Ten starts at noon. You know, you find four or five early games you sink your teeth into. You know, now I'm always at a field. I'm coaching. I have kids. It's differently. I don't want to be in the house. I want to be out with them, which I am every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But, man, you start getting those bets in at 9 in the morning, right? You watch the Big Ten. Then you get to, like, the SEC on CBS at 3:30. Bama, you know, Georgia, Tennessee when they're good, when they were really good. And you just go right up to, like, yeah, I mean, you might have a dime on UNLV or Hawaii. I mean, it's literally 12 hours. So, but if you strip away the gambling, what is there? It's not salvageable. You can never go back to what it was. And I understand things evolve, and, And I use the word romanticize a lot. Like, trust me, it wasn't perfect back then. People were cheating. Kids were juicing on steroids. It hasn't been amateur for, oh God, who knows how long. Everybody's a crook at the end of the day. But I just don't get it. Like, I respect it if you still walk around and you're a fervent college football fan. I just don't care. Charlie's in Totowa. Charlie, what's happening, man?
Hey, I couldn't agree with you more. I played 1976 at William & Mary. And, boy, how times are different. I stopped watching it. I'd rather watch it go locally here up here in Jersey.
Yeah.
And watch a good Division III football game.
Yeah, go watch Bergen Catholic. I'll watch Don Bosco. You know what I mean? I'll watch him play.
Well, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Me, I'll go watch St. Joe's or DePaul.
Yep, I got you.
That's for my kids.
Oh, really? Actually, a good buddy of mine who my son plays ball with and I've coached with, his dad is at DePaul. I believe he's still the athletic director. Yeah, great school.
Joe Lennon.
Yes.
Joe Lennon.
Yeah, Lennon, absolutely. There you go. All right.
Both my daughters, but it really is crazy.
Yeah.
And I do get your point about when they were exploited. I get all that. My suggestion years ago, because I'm big in athletics in North Jersey, I'm an official and a coach.
Okay.
I says, put money aside for these kids.
Yep.
If you want to pay them,
yep.
Put $100,000 aside.
Yep.
When they graduate, give them their money.
Yeah.
These kids, what about high school kids now?
I know.
High school kids signing for eight. You got to be kidding me.
I forget the kid's name. Charlie, thanks for the call. My wife's from Dallas, right? So her high school football stadium, I mean, it's nicer than where I went to college. It's ridiculous. And they're amazing, right? And they were getting ready to, there's a couple of years, I honestly forget the kid's name. And he was going into his senior year in high school. Now, think about the conversation that's evolved from young men bypassing bowl games, which I have no issue with because they're meaningless outside of the semifinal and the championship. Meaningless. They mean nothing. It's a money grab. Why, if you're going to be a first or a second or a third round pick, why would you risk getting hurt? I wouldn't. So I have no problem with those kids sitting out if they deem it the right business move, okay? Because it is a business. But there was a player in Dallas, in the greater Dallas metro area, who sat out his senior year of high school. And he was getting like two. I think he went to Ohio State, if I have that right. Imagine, think about how counterintuitive that is to everything that almost all of us grew up with. You would give a body part to grow up with a group of kids to be, and then to play together forever, and then go to a high school, private or public, and have a chance to win a state championship. And think about that camaraderie. And you say, good luck, guys. I'm not playing. Hey, he's the quarterback. I'm not playing. High school. Wow. Wow, man. Or it's just ridiculous. And that last caller, I mean, I tell you, I was ahead of the NIL stuff. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I've been in the corner of the players for a lot longer than many people. I remember saying in the mid-2000s, I actually came up with a plan similar to what our last caller said. I said, I don't think I said 100,000. Take X amount of money, whatever it was, right? And I remember saying, because one of the pushbacks would be, well, you know, what does the star point guard get versus the walk-on? I said, come up with a uniform number, whatever. I mean, you know, 150,000, whatever the number is. Put it and invest it. And every player, full ride, partial, walk-on, whatever, gets that allotment of money when they reach a certain age. This way they can't waste it, you know, on, not that it's wasted on a car, but, oh, let me go and burn it on a Ferrari, you know, something I can't afford after five payments, you know what I mean? Or, I don't know, a boat. I don't know, I'm just throwing steel. Or old jewelry, whatever. Like, save it. Which, by the way, those are things that I probably would have done if I had access to $50,000 when I was in college. So I'm not hating on the kids for maybe wanting to do that. Trust me, I get it. I'm not that old. I do get it. But save it for a meaningful expenditure, whether it's their first down payment, and have it at an age, I think I said 25, where they're mature, at least, you know, theoretically, mentally mature enough to not only know what to do with it, but to handle taxes and all the other things that come with money. And put it that, you know, first condo, you're engaged, you know, here's a down payment on an engagement ring. Or if you didn't get a full ride, you can reinvest it and you can help pay, you know, Sally Mae or whatever the other student loan outlets are. Like, that was a practical. So I've always been in their corner. This is not about the kids getting money. That doesn't turn me off. It's everything else. But it does turn me off kids leaving. And they're leaving because there's more money to be made elsewhere. Like, you've heard this before, but if you're a backup, say if you're a four-star kid, you know, you don't win the job right away. You're a starting corner or a receiver. Maybe you don't have a great camp. Maybe your acclimation to college is a little slow. Maybe you're hurt. Whatever. Year gets off on the wrong foot. You don't start. You never really pop. Guess what? Instead of the next year, like that offseason, doing what we all used to do back in the day, you know, I'm going to use this as fuel to get better and just give it everything I got and come back and win the job, or at least try to, I'm going to leave. Oh, and not only am I going to leave and not compete, but I'm going to get financial incentive to do it. Yeah, I know I'm going on a bit of a rant here, but I just, you know, when I, and this just started by me just trying to set my roster and check the waiver wire on CBSSports.com for my fantasy baseball team, which for about the 13th year in a row is not going to win. And I see college football. College football, it's dead. It's over. It's over. 888-808-1019. Doing a little preaching there, Hoff. I'm sorry about that, but, you know.
Preach away, my friend.
Couldn't control myself, pal. Yeah. Hey, seriously, if you're not gambling, what are you doing watching? Games don't mean anything. It is crazy. BT and Sal here on the Fan. So, I obviously talking Yanks and Mets. We'll get back to that. Top story of the day. Hit you with the crown. But I do want many of you, I want you guys to weigh in on that. There's no way I'm alone. And if I am wrong, in your opinion, I would love to truly know why you still watch it. Outside of, I went to Michigan, and I'm a Wolverine fan, or I gamble. What else? Important for you and for me to do my job. Like, I'm following mocks. I'm following the top players. That I definitely do. Like, if I was just on CBSSports.com, I saw some college football articles, right? Now, growing up here, there's no team to root for, so it's different. We're more college basketball, right? At least when many of you were younger. How do you get the juice that you once had for college football with everything that's happened between the portal, NIL, conference realignment? Like, college football's dead.
Yeah, I never had juice to begin with, so, and now it's killing it even more.
Right?
Honestly, there's nothing to it, dude.
Nothing.
Listen, I enjoy the fact that kids may stay longer now, because they don't have to rush out. The same thing with, like, basketball. Like, hey, you actually don't have to rush out of college.
Yeah.
So maybe you could build more of a name and stuff like that.
Well, what you could do, think about this. If you're, like, a fringe draft pick. Say, I'll take basketball, right, because I'm more familiar with that. You're a fringe draft pick. And, you know, maybe late first round. Maybe you're not sure. And, you know, maybe the best you could do is a two-way contract with the G League, right? Hey, stay on campus. Get $500,000. You know, score 20 points a game. And, you know, so you're actually making more money. So you do stay a little longer. That's not bad. But everything else stinks.
Yeah. No,
God.
I'm not interested.
Quick trivia question for you. A little quiz. What conference is USC in?
Big Ten.
He got it right. Wow. You heard me saying that outside.
Yes.
You suck.
Otherwise, I have no idea.
You had no idea, right?
No.
I know. Me neither. It is... And I'm not trying to be a downer here, but, I mean, I used to love this sport. I used to stay, and listen, I was also betting more, to be honest with you. But, I mean, you start, like, the Big Ten starts at noon. You know, you find four or five early games you sink your teeth into. You know, now I'm always at a field. I'm coaching. I have kids. It's differently. I don't want to be in the house. I want to be out with them, which I am every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But, man, you start getting those bets in at 9 in the morning, right? You watch the Big Ten, then you get to, like, the SEC on CBS at 3:30, Bama, you know, Georgia, Tennessee when they're good, when they were really good. And you just go right up to, like, yeah, I mean, you might have a dime on UNLV or Hawaii. I mean, it's literally 12 hours. So, but if you strip away the gambling, what is there? It's not salvageable. You can never go back to what it was. And I understand things evolve and, I use the word romanticize a lot. Like, trust me, it wasn't perfect back then. People were cheating. Kids were juicing on steroids. It hasn't been amateur for, oh God, who knows how long. Everybody's a crook at the end of the day. But I just don't get it. Like, I respect it if you still walk around and you're a fervent college football fan. I just don't care. Charlie's in Totowa. Charlie, what's happening, man?
Hey, I couldn't agree with you more. I played 1976 at William & Mary. And, boy, how times are different. I stopped watching it. I'd rather watch it go locally here up here in Jersey.
Yeah.
And watch a good Division III football game.
Yeah, go watch Bergen Catholic. I'll watch Don Bosco. You know what I mean?
I'll watch
him play.
Well, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Me, I'll go watch St. Joe's or DePaul.
Yep, I got
that's
you.
That's where my kids went.
Oh, really? Actually, a good buddy of mine who my son plays ball with and I've coached with, his dad is at DePaul. I believe he's still the athletic director. Yeah, great school.
Joe Lennon.
Yes.
Joe Lennon.
Yeah, Lennon, absolutely. There you go. All right.
Both my daughters, but it really is crazy.
Yeah.
And I do get your point about when they were exploited. I get all that. My suggestion years ago, because I'm big in athletics in North Jersey, I'm an official and a coach.
Okay.
I says, put money aside for these kids.
Yep.
If you want to pay them,
yep,
put $100,000 aside.
Yep.
When they graduate, give them their money.
Yeah.
These kids, what about high school kids now?
I know.
High school kids signing for eight. You got to be kidding me.
I forget the kid's name. Charlie, thanks for the call. My wife's from Dallas, right? So her high school football stadium, I mean, it's nicer than where I went to college. It's ridiculous. And they're amazing, right? And they were getting ready to, there's a couple of years, I honestly forget the kid's name. And he was going into his senior year in high school. Now, think about the conversation that's evolved from young men bypassing bowl games, which I have no issue with because they're meaningless outside of the semifinal and the championship. Meaningless. They mean nothing. It's a money grab. Why, if you're going to be a first or a second or a third round pick, why would you risk getting hurt? I wouldn't. So I have no problem with those kids sitting out if they deem it the right business move, okay? Because it is a business. But there was a player in Dallas, in the greater Dallas metro area, who sat out his senior year of high school. And he was getting like two, I think he went to Ohio State if I have that right. Imagine, think about how counterintuitive that is to everything that almost all of us grew up with. You would give a body part to grow up with a group of kids to be, and then to play together forever, and then go to a high school, private or public, and have a chance to win a state championship. And think about that camaraderie. And you say, now, good luck, guys. I'm not playing. Hey, he's the quarterback. I'm not playing. High school. Wow. Wow, man. Or it's just ridiculous. And that last caller, I mean, I tell you, I was ahead of the NIL stuff. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I've been in the corner of the players for a lot longer than many people. I remember saying in the mid-2000s, I actually came up with a plan similar to what our last caller said. I said, I don't think I said 100,000. Take X amount of money, whatever it was, right? And I remember saying, because one of the pushbacks would be, well, you know, what does the star point guard get versus the walk-on? I said, come up with a uniform number, whatever. I mean, you know, 150,000, whatever the number is. Put it and invest it. And every player, full ride, partial, walk on, whatever, gets that allotment of money when they reach a certain age. This way they can't waste it, you know, on, not that it's wasted on a car, but, oh, let me go and burn it on a Ferrari, you know, something I can't afford after five payments, you know what I mean? Or, I don't know, a boat. I don't know, I'm just throwing steel. Or old jewelry, whatever. Like, save it. Which, by the way, those are things that I probably would have done if I had access to $50,000 when I was at college. So I'm not hating on the kids for maybe wanting to do that. Trust me, I get it. I'm not that old. I do get it. But save it for a meaningful expenditure, whether it's their first down payment, and have it at an age, I think I said 25, where they're mature, at least, you know, theoretically, mentally mature enough to not only know what to do with it, but to handle taxes and all the other things that come with money. And put it that, you know, first condo, you're engaged, you know, here's a down payment on an engagement ring. Or if you didn't get a full ride, you can reinvest it and you can help pay, you know, Sally Mae or whatever the other student loan outlets are. Like, that was a practical. So I've always been in their corner. This is not about the kids getting money. That doesn't turn me off. It's everything else. But it does turn me off kids leaving. And they're leaving because there's more money to be made elsewhere. Like, you've heard this before, but if you're a backup, say if you're a four-star kid, you know, you don't win the job right away. You're a starting corner or a receiver. Maybe you don't have a great camp. Maybe your acclimation to college is a little slow. Maybe you're hurt. Whatever. Year gets off on the wrong foot. You don't start. You never really pop. Guess what? Instead of the next year, like that offseason, doing what we all used to do back in the day, you know, I'm going to use this as fuel to get better and just give it everything I got and come back and win the job, or at least try to, I'm going to leave. Oh, and not only am I going to leave and not compete, but I'm going to get financial incentive to do it. Yeah, I know I'm going on a bit of a rant here, but I just, you know, when I, and this just started by me just trying to set my roster and check the waiver wire on CBSSports.com for my fantasy baseball team, which for about the 13th year in a row is not going to win. And I see college football. College football, it's dead. It's over. It's over. 888-808-1019. Doing a little preaching there, Hoff. I'm sorry about that, but, you know.
Preach away, my friend.
Couldn't control myself, pal. Yeah. I mean, seriously, if you're not gambling, what are you doing watching? Games don't mean anything. It is crazy. BT and Sal here on The Fan. So, I obviously talking Yanks and Mets. We'll get back to that. Top story of the day. Hit you with the crown. But I do want many of you, I want you guys to weigh in on that. There's no way I'm alone. And if I am wrong, in your opinion, I would love to truly know why you still watch it. Outside of, I went to Michigan, and I'm a Wolverine fan. Or I gamble. What else?